We asked Tom Mikaitis to join us from DePaul University and give us some insight or thoughts on that. Hey, Tom, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Good. And yourself?
I'm doing really well. It's a beautiful, though brisk, day in Chicago. We are kind of snuggled over our TVs and computers today and watched the president. What did you think about what he had to say?
Well, the thing that concerned me is that he prefaced his remarks by saying that, in fact, this is a new approach. But he really didn't define any kind of approach. That what we really got was a single gesture, a symbolic act, as you indicated, but a highly provocative one with no clear indication of how in any way, shape, or form it will make the situation better and could, in fact, make it worse.
Here's how volatile maybe all of this is. We reached out to the Israeli consulate here in Chicago. They strolled through our studios a few months ago, introduced themselves. We all had a nice cup of coffee and a slap on the back and said, if you can ever do something for us, let us know. Well, if ever there'd be an opportunity for the Israeli consulate in Chicago to speak up, this would be it. And they go, you know what? We actually don't want to talk about that right now. It's too sensitive a subject for us to choose the wrong words, even though I presume they're thrilled with what the president said today.
I think they are, but on the other hand, I think they also recognize it isn't a time to be triumphant. And, you know, as a result of that, I think they're wisely being cautious. I wish, in fact, that we had, you know, taken that approach and basically do what every president, Republican and Democrat, has done since 95, which is to not poke a sleeping bear with a stick.
What's the sleeping bear?
Well, the sleeping bear is an issue that is an incredibly complicated web of diplomacy that, as Theresa May said, in Britain should be resolved through negotiations. You said something in your introduction, which I just want to take slight issue with. This really is not about an ancient argument, a nation fight. This goes back to 1948 war. And particularly to the Six-Day War, when the Israelis overran what is today the West East Jerusalem, and added it, and then annexed it. And the UN has not recognized that annexation. It has, said that two things: one, that the state of that everyone should recognize Israel's right to exist, and I think that's been a stumbling block for some of the Palestinian movements. But it also said that there should be some return to the boundaries, to the 67 boundaries. And, of course, Israel rejects that. Now, in that kind of status quo, that leaves Jerusalem in a kind of limbo. But there is no harm done in doing that. Where our embassy is, I've been to Israel, it's a tiny country. So, it's not any kind of inconvenience to have the embassy one place or another. But it's a needlessly provocative gesture that angers Palestinians, people in the Arab and larger Muslim worlds, and frankly, our own allies. I mean, you indicated nobody else has made this decision. The international community has made itself clear on it. So I'm kind of disappointed. I'm not surprised.
No.
But I see what is really concerning is, where's the new approach? Where's the new strategy? Where's the new anything? This really is an isolated gesture.
Well, maybe, I'm just guessing here, it's more following up on a campaign pledge, even if it's not really a peace delivery vehicle, it's a campaign pledge. And by the way, if other leaders in Europe, or for that matter, Barack Obama, thought it was a good idea to stay in Tel Aviv, this president will move just to spite them all.
Which is exactly what I find most disturbing about the whole approach to foreign policy, is that it's driven by a desire for attention and for a need to be provocative and to be counter to everybody who went before. It's a doing something to do something approach, which is a very, dangerous and unnecessary way to run foreign policy.
Well, do you think that it'll actually happen? I mean, there's a lot of building that has to take place between now and then, isn't there? The president said we're going to build this new gleaming building. And if he's not president in 3 years, I wonder if, in fact, it'll even happen.
I think that's absolutely the case. But the choice of language that he used, again, you know, my embassy is going to be big. It's going to be gleaming. It's going to, you know, I mean, it. What are we going to have? An embassy that's another Trump Tower? I mean, I think you're right. I don't think the moving of the embassy is going to happen immediately. And what I really hope is the cooler heads everywhere prevail and that nothing beyond demonstrations takes place. But I worry that, in fact, what you may actually see is violence in the region. I mean, the other warning thing is, why do this when you have to go around and warn all of our embassies around the world, especially in the Middle East, and advise Americans of the risk of going to Jerusalem at this time? I mean, that in itself should tell you to say, okay, now what am I getting, and what do I risk in getting it? And I think that the math to me just doesn't add up.
Do you have any predictions about that, violence at U.S. posts or embassies around the world?
I think there will be some. I can't predict it. I hope I'm – we've had numerous conversations that I told you I hate a lot of my own conclusions.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid that you will see some. I don't know the extent. There will definitely be demonstrations in Jerusalem, whether they're farther afield and how this will play out, we will know in the next in a matter of days. I think if nothing much happens in a couple of days, I don't expect to see anything. But I'm afraid we will be having this conversation again.
One last thing, Tom Mikaitis over to DePaul. Do you have any sort of idea about how this got put together? It just seems to me like, except for people who have obvious skin in the game, most of the studied people in the country and the world say this is a, as you said, needlessly provocative thing to do right now. So who's the author of this? Who is signing off on this?
Well, to a significant degree, he's appealing to his base. Certainly Jared Kushner has had a major hand in this. And that itself is an interesting thing. As essentially you have a Secretary of State, but this particular aspect of foreign policy seems to be being run by the president's son-in-law. And then the other thing, of course, is the notion that Mike Pence is going there. I think people don't often realize that some of the strongest backers of this kind of a move are, in fact, Christian Zionists.
Yeah.
And they have this, someone said the Israelis have made a bit of a devil's bargain. I mean, the Christian Zionist position is that it belongs to the Jewish people so that Jesus can come back and the world can end and they can be converted, you know, which has a bit of an undertone of anti-Semitism to it. But it is what it is. And, you know, his domestic base is going to eat this up. But it's a narrow base, but it's the one he cares about.
Well, why does he care about that so much?
Because it's the adulation approach. You know, these are going to people who, in fact, are going to cheer his activities. It's a kind of a strange sort of dynamic that's going on here that, you know, we're looking constantly for rational explanations for foreign policy. And, you know, this may be one of those cases which, you know, it isn't quite operating that way. Unfortunate and disconcerting as that is. It does seem to be something of the reality.
I have a couple of friends who are conservative Christian preachers, and when we were talking over coffee one day, they're bright guys, college educated, living in the suburbs like a lot of people, and they said they voted for Trump. Not that college educated doesn't mean you won't, but I was a little surprised to hear that they did, and they said that there were two reasons why they did, and one of them was his pledge to move the embassy to Jerusalem. He said, you have no idea how important that is to us and to our flock. And that's an immensely important city. And so all of the other sins about Donald Trump, which they fully acknowledged, weren't as grave as the good that moving the embassy to Jerusalem would be for them.
And that's what I think, that is a lot of the logic that many voters on the right did. And it also explains the logic, perverted as it may be, literally and figuratively, behind people saying that, well, yeah, whatever is true about Roy Moore in Alabama, it's better to have him than have a Democrat, because we care more about the agenda than we do about his personal behavior. And to be quite honest, I mean, you know, just to be perfectly fair here, you know, Democrats did something like the same thing with Bill Clinton. In the 96 election, well, this is seedy, it's sleazy, we don't like it. On the other hand, So, you know, I mean, to some degree, maybe we let that individual off far too easily. And, you know, the same kind of thing now.
Yeah, if Bill Clinton were today a United States senator, if Bill Clinton today were a United States senator, and if he were accused of having an affair with Monica Lewinsky, as he did for a couple of years, he'd be gone. He'd be out of the U.S. Senate.
I think it's quite likely he would be, although that remains to be seen. We'll have to see whether Senator Franken actually does go forward with that. He was very successful, and I think to some degree, you've seen it too, of, you know, discrediting the people who accused him. That's proving harder to do, and I take great hope in human progress that we have changed to some degree in no longer accepting, no longer blaming the victim. I mean, that's a silver lining to all this. But it's in the middle of a very ugly, dark cloud.
And another conversation. Tom Mikaitis, professor of history over at DePaul. Thanks, Tom. We appreciate your time.
You too. Have a nice afternoon.
You too. It's 1:23. This is WGN.